Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches His people about life in the kingdom of God.
Jesus told the rich young ruler to sell everything and give it to the poor. Why didn't Jesus tell anyone else that? What does God want us to do with our wealth? We come to a new section in our study of the Sermon on the Mount today, Matthew 6, verses 19 to 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
We begin a new section this morning on the Sermon on the Mount. We've been going verse by verse through the Sermon on the Mount. And that sermon is all about righteousness, what righteousness looks like in the kingdom. The Messiah has arrived. The King has arrived. He's going to set up His kingdom. What does it look like now to live righteously in that kingdom? That's what the sermon is about. He begins, the first section, major section of the sermon, was about righteousness with regard to people. How a righteous person interacts with those around him. So we titled that section, Righteousness and Relationships. Then that was chapter 5. Now, chapter 6, the first half of chapter 6, is the next major section. That's about righteousness and religion. How people interact with God. Prayer and fasting and giving and all that. Now, we reach this section, starts a new, the third major section, and this we could title Righteousness and Possessions. How a righteous person deals with stuff. Stuff. Now, if you like alliteration and you'd rather have another R instead of stuff, you could say righteousness in relationships, righteousness in religion, and then the third one, righteousness and resources. Okay? So if you like nice, tidy things, if you're into accuracy, though, I think stuff is a little better. Jesus is concerned to teach us what righteousness looks like when it comes to dealing with the stuff in our lives. Because let's face it, stuff is a big part of life, right? We spend most of our money on stuff. We buy pile after pile of stuff. Stuff to sit on, stuff to watch while we're sitting, stuff to eat with, stuff to clean the stuff that we eat with. We buy stuff to put our stuff in, and stuff to organize all our stuff, and stuff to store our stuff, and garage is full of stuff that we need to fix the other broken stuff that we got to make new stuff. And so we have to buy stuff to hang up all our stuff that we use to fix the broken stuff. And then other stuff to clean up the mess that we make when we work on all our stuff. Stuff is just a huge part of our lives. And so a sermon on what righteousness looks like in the kingdom has got to have a major section on what do you do about stuff. And as usual, Jesus is going to make a lot of people really uncomfortable in this section because He's going to command us to seek treasure for ourselves. If you're one of those people who thinks that seeking treasure is a selfish, kind of sub-Christian motive, then you're really not going to like this section. If you think seeking benefit from yourself, from God, or for yourself from God is somehow bad, then you're going to think that today's passage is the most selfish passage ever written. It says nothing about giving, nothing about serving, nothing about God receiving anything, nothing about sacrifice, nothing about self-denial. It's just 100% self-interest. God is commanding us to act in our own self-interest, this whole section. Another group of people that are going to be shocked by this passage are those who believe that everybody gets the same reward in heaven. There are people who teach that nobody gets anything more than anybody else in heaven. Jesus shoots that down in this passage. And another group of people who are going to run into trouble in this text are those who teach that reward in heaven has nothing to do with our deeds in this life. There are people that teach that. They say, it's by grace. It's all by grace. And therefore, it can't be related in any way to our actions or our performance. And Jesus is going to show us that, yes, it is by grace alone. However, it's a terrible misunderstanding of grace to assume that grace somehow excludes human effort. Grace does not exclude human effort. It causes human effort. So where there is no human effort, there is no grace. And so our eternal reward is very much connected to what we do in this life and our actions. So this paragraph we're studying today is a very simple message, very simple structure. Two commands, two reasons to obey those commands. The two commands, verse 19, do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth. The other one, verse 20, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Those are the two commands. The reasons for obeying that, number one, heavenly treasure is a lot better than earthly treasure. That's the first reason. And the second reason, verse 21, your heart will go wherever your treasure is. So that's the message of the passage. And so I'd like to begin by talking about what treasure is and what it means to store it up so we can understand how to obey this passage. The basic idea of the word treasure has to do with accumulating, storing up. A treasure is that which is placed in a treasury or a vault. A Greek word can refer to the actual treasure. It can refer to the place where you put the treasure. Or it can refer to the act of storing it. The noun and the verb are both actually used in this verse. Literally, it sounds this way in the Greek. Do not treasure up for yourselves treasure on earth, but treasure up for yourselves treasure in heaven. So treasure is something that you pile up and lock away because you regard it as highly valuable. It's just something that's precious to you. That's treasure. So what is it? What does this mean? Does it mean, is this saying here that it's always wrong to store up wealth? If I get my, you know, sometimes people have used this passage to say, oh, you shouldn't have a retirement because you should just trust God. That's violating this text. You should never store up wealth. Never? If I get my paycheck at noon and I give it all away at 1 o'clock, was I in sin that whole hour between noon and one because I was storing it? And if not, then where are you going to draw the line? Is it okay for me to set aside money to pay my bills that are coming next month? Is it okay for me to save up to buy my next car? What about retirement? What we find in Scripture, if you go through Scripture and you look at what it says about saving, saving is actually a good thing. Proverbs 6:6, go to the ant, you sluggard, consider its ways and be wise. It stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food in the harvest. So God wants us to learn a lesson from the ant about saving for the future. So should you set aside money to pay your upcoming bills? Yes, you should. Should you save up for your next car? Yeah, I think you should. That's certainly wiser than waiting until you need the car and then having to borrow. What about retirement? Should I be setting aside money to live on from? Now, I don't really believe in retirement in the sense of just stopping your work just because you have enough money. I think that we should be busy in the kingdom, whether you're getting paid for it or not. We should stay busy in the kingdom as long as we can. But there comes a time when you just can't do much anymore, right? I mean, so should I be setting aside money for that time when I can't preach any longer, from that time until the day I die, so that I'm not dependent on others? Or should I just do what Jesus told the rich young ruler to do, just sell everything I have and give it to the poor? Sometimes people have pointed to that. So that's a model for all of us. We should all do that. But have you ever noticed that the rich young ruler is the only person that Jesus ever said that to? He didn't say that to Mary and Martha. He didn't tell Mary and Martha, sell all your stuff and your house and give it to the poor. He went to their house and enjoyed their stuff. You say, but yeah, but didn't people in the book of Acts sell their possessions and share with one another? And doesn't that really support that whole communistic idea where you don't really own anything, you just sell all your stuff and throw it in a big pot and everybody lives from the central pot? Isn't that what they were doing? Wasn't it a communistic system? A lot of people have tried to support communism from the book of Acts. And the answer to that is, yes, they did sell their possessions in order to give to those in need, but no, that does not support communism. It wasn't communistic because selling and sharing both require private ownership. If anyone tries to tell you that the Bible doesn't support private ownership but supports communism instead, just ask them, what about the Eighth Commandment? What's the Eighth Commandment all about? Thou shalt not steal? When God said, thou shalt not steal, he's making it crystal clear that there are certain things that belong to your neighbor and not to you. You're not allowed to take them because they're his. He owns them. Scripture does support private. In fact, not just the Eighth Commandment, but also the Tenth Commandment. Not only are you not allowed to take his stuff, you're not even allowed to want to take his stuff. Thou shalt not covet. That's his stuff. So, Scripture does support private ownership. You have to have private ownership in order to have giving. And so, private ownership is a good thing. If we want to learn from the people, what the people in the book of Acts were doing, what we need to do is just listen to what God said to those people. And you know what he said to them? One of the guys who was doing that, a guy by the name of Ananias, wife's name was Sapphira, and they said, you know what, we're going to sell our land and we're going to give all the proceeds to God. And so they sold the land and they got the proceeds and they said, well, these are kind of a lot of proceeds. What if we just gave most of them to God, you know? And so they gave most of it to the Lord, but they said they were giving it all. And God struck them dead. Just struck them dead for lying. But it's fascinating. Before he killed them, he said this to them through Peter in Acts 5:4. He said, didn't the land belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? You see, those people didn't have to sell their land. And if they did sell it, they didn't have to give the money to the church. It was theirs to keep. They could have kept. God said, Ananias, you could have kept it. You'd have been just fine if you kept it. Or give a portion of it like you did. That was fine. I'm killing you because you lied about it. So, if Jesus' command to the rich young ruler to sell everything requires that all Christians should do that, then why did Peter tell Ananias and Sapphira that he didn't have to sell his property and he didn't have to give the money? Would have been fine if they hadn't lied. You see, the problem with giving away all your money and all your stuff is you can't do that without violating 1 Timothy 5:8, which says, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. 2 Corinthians 12:14, children should not have to save up for their parents, but their parents for their children. So the Bible teaches that it's a good thing to earn a living, it's a good thing, and it's wise to save for future needs, and it's required that we provide for our families. So what are we to make of Jesus' words here? One of the most important keys to understanding the Sermon on the Mount is to realize that Jesus is teaching us principles for the heart, not regulations for the actions.
Imagine you were there that day that Jesus taught this. You heard him say, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth." And your mind starts racing with questions. What about savings? What about this? What about that? So you ask Jesus, and he responds by saying this. Don't think of it as a rule. Think of it in terms of a guide to align your heart with the heart of the Father. If you think of it that way, and you consider God's will and his heart, what he loves and hates, what conclusions would you come to about what might need to change in the way you deal with money? And what things do you think would be pleasing to him and shouldn't change?
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are a crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.